thank you all for the singing of these great, we've sung a dozen or more hymns now and songs, some of which we knew and obviously some of which we didn't, but a great chance to thank God for his blessing upon us. Because when we think about Ephesians chapter 1 and these seven blessings that are focus of our singing and reading together today, I am so appreciative that God has blessed. That's the time. It's done. He's already done it. I don't have to work for it. Matter of fact, I'm real thankful I can't work for it, because we'd be all lost otherwise. But that he has blessed us, the recipients, with all, the number, spiritual blessings, the kind, in the heavenly realm, in the place, in the spiritual level that the world doesn't even begin to understand. And he's done it all through the person in Christ Jesus. Nothing gives us more cause to be thankful than to recognize the blessing that God gives us. The nature surrounding us, a newborn emerging into the world, and the simple joy of breathing, as was shared in the testimonies today, of seeing, of hearing, of enjoying life. God has given this to us. Ephesians begins out by saying that it's written to the church at Ephesus. And I love that in the original document, there is no church name there. It's a blank put in. So that every church, as Paul sent the letter out to this group, and we know them, right? These churches all from that little part of what we would think of today as the Aegean coast of Turkey. There were churches there. They all fellowshiped together. They shared pastors. They shared letters. One would be read in one church and another. And in Ephesus, in Smyrna, in Pergamum, in Thyatira, in Sardis, in Philadelphia, I got to keep them all straight, in Laodicea, Hierapolis, Colossae, these are all churches within an hour of each other. And that they're all written there together. And it said, it's written to the churches, or the church at blank. So each church could write in their own name. And you know what? It includes us, because it begins by saying, and to the faithful who are in Christ Jesus. And that includes the church in the Sovereign Grace Church of Casper, Wyoming. And so we are blessed. We're blessed, according to the scriptures we've read, first of all, by being God's elect, that God chose us. As we heard from Brother Jim speaking at communion, that we have not chosen him, but he has chosen us. We are reactionary. We had no ability, remember? The unregenerate man, the fallen man, the seed of Adam, can't do anything right in the sight of God. We can do it right in the sight of our fellow man. We can trick them into thinking we're pretty good people. But in the sight of God, even our good works are filthy. We can't do it. We can't want, wish, will, walk. We can't seek God. We can't do anything. But God wiggled our willer. Is that a theological definition there? He changed us. He regenerated us. And he made us the choice to lavish his love upon before the world was created. Not by our merit, not by our charisma, not by our righteous deeds, but God chose to view us as he views his Son. And that is amazing. Not just that I've never sinned, but he views us as if we've always done right. Fantastic truth. Even as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, and then being predestined to be adopted as sons, the second great blessing, through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he's blessed us in the beloved. I love that. The reason we are saved, the reason we are chosen, the reason we are predestined by God is to show how wonderful His grace is. Not how wonderful we are. As a matter of fact, I've often said that our individual salvation here is residual. It's periphery. Christ died, and one of the side benefits is that He died for us. You say, no, He came to die for us. That's His whole purpose. No, His purpose is to show His holiness and righteousness and then to show His grace. He looks down upon you. Whenever I point to you all, you know, you evil sinners, you wicked, hell-deserving sinners, notice how when you point to someone, you've got three fingers pointing back at yourself? Yeah, because I'm three times as bad. We are evil and wicked, and God's grace is elevated. I mean, when you do something for someone who likes you, if you do something for someone who's a family member, you know, I have to give Christmas presents. I don't know about you, but I have to give them. Because if I don't, my grandkids, my kids will all think I'm a meanie. I'm Mr. Scrooge. I'm worse than the Grinch. I'm no good. You know, you have to do certain good things to your family. But what about my next door neighbor whose barking dog woke me up at 6 o'clock this morning? Do I have to do good for her? No, I don't have to. I didn't get out my BB gun. I didn't do anything this morning that I wanted to give her. But God says, while we were sinners, while we were rebels, what's the term He used? While we were enemies, hating every single thing about God, He, to show how great His grace is, way greater than Bob's, His grace is way greater than what we have. His grace is such that it predestined me to be God's child, to lavish His love upon and accept us into this family, accepted in the beloved. If for no other reason about being thankful today, number one and two that Paul starts out with are there for a reason, that he chose us and that He predestined us. Those are not bad words. Election and predestination are not bad words. They're biblical. God's love is that way, showing the amazing grace He has that we don't even understand. Then we've been blessed by being redeemed. We read in verse 7, we have redemption through His blood. That we were on the auction block, as it were. And someone said, well, did God have to pay Satan for us? Well, no, we were always God's possession, God's creation. All of humanity is God's. But we had left. We had gone like Hosea's wife and ended up in the dregs of sin. And He redeemed us and bought us with His blood. For Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so He redeemed us and completed it as the Lamb at Calvary. And then by Him redeeming us, that gives us then the forgiveness of our sins. That's why verse 7 is all one verse, even though we have it as two separate blessings in our outline for our Thanksgiving worship today. We're blessed by being redeemed, and we're blessed by being forgiven, given the forgiveness of our trespasses, where we've broken, we've crossed the boundary. Yeah, that's what sin is. And again, it's because of the riches of His grace. We broke the relationship with God, like Adam did in the garden, and God came down. What did He say to Adam when God came down after the relationship was broken by sin? He said, Adam, where are you? Did God know where Adam was? Did Adam know where Adam was? No. And so we have to have that forgiveness so that we can go, oh, wow, look at all God did. Now, I didn't understand anything about election. I was scared whenever I heard the word predestination. I didn't understand what God's working in the background. But when it came to being redeemed, Christ died for me. Yep, I got that. Being forgiven, yep, I got that. I can understand those real clearly. Those aren't deep theological things. But to show how great his grace was, that he restored that relationship and revitalized it for us again as we became one with him. We're then, number five, given wisdom. Ephesians 1:8-10 says, he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, made known the mystery of his will, according to the purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, of things in earth and on heaven. You know, my thinking didn't understand any of that. I'm like the people talked about in 1 Corinthians 1 that said, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world didn't know God through wisdom, it pleased God that through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. The world tries to think it through. They try to understand, and we don't. And it's really neat to see here that God's given us the wisdom not just to understand the blessing of being chosen, of being predestined, of being redeemed, of being forgiven, but he's chosen to give us this wisdom so that we'll know what's going to happen. We know we have wisdom, that God's in control. He's laid out in the scripture what's going to happen in the future. Now, I don't like a lot of what's going to happen in the future. I've read it, and it's some terrible judgment and difficult times coming. But God says, he doesn't want us to be surprised. He wants us to be blessed that we have the mind of Christ and we have the thinking, the understanding, so that the mystery to the world is clear for us, and that we can see the triumph of God and the blessing of God in the years, in the decades to come, whatever time God gives us. We can see it all unfold. Like Dr. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, said, I've read the end of the book, and we win. The world doesn't understand that. They think of this, you know, quote, evolution, that man's getting better and better, and we realize it as devolution, I guess. Is that a word? De-evolution. No, devolution. That sounds good. It's a death spiral down as society and mankind goes further and further away from God, until finally God has to intervene and set up his kingdom for us. We have that wisdom. We need to read the word and understand it. The sixth blessing that we just finished singing about is being an heir, that we have an inheritance. I love that. When I was a kid, my parents listened to country music. I mean, the old-fashioned country western music, you know, where, you know, I lost my wife and I lost my best friend and I miss him already, and the different lyrics of the songs that would come with that country music. But they would sing, I'll be happy with a cabin in the corner of glory land. Y'all remember that song? I've got a cabin in the corner of glory. Folks, I've got a mansion over the hilltop. I don't have a cabin in the corner somewhere. You know, we're an heir. In him we have obtained. It's a done deal. Jesus died so that we would have an inheritance. Now, as you know, we're working on selling our house, on buying and retiring and all sorts of things like that. And my son called up. He calls every week to just make sure how we're doing and how we're surviving all of this traumatic change in our life. And I said, wouldn't it be just easier if God just took mom and I away, just take us home, maybe we get COVID or whatever and we die, and we get to go to heaven, and then you get all of our money, And he kind of giggled like that and said, well, that's not saying much. What else do we get? And I said, well, you get a house here in Casper, Wyoming, where no one wants to live. Or there's no job for you or anything like that. I said, okay. And he said, Dad, he said, I would prefer if you and Mom would just live out your life all the years ahead, spend all the money. We don't care if we get a penny. Now, we haven't taken a vote among the other children yet and the grandkids. It might not go that way, but so far it's unanimous. Okay, the inheritance is great. It's a blessing, but they said, we'd like Grandma and Grandpa to be around a little bit longer yet, rather than the money. But, you know, what do you do with an inheritance? Other than pay taxes or whatever you have to do on it. Well, I don't know much about an inheritance. I don't understand a lot of that. But I know that when I die, I will have an inheritance that I can't imagine. Not done by one thing of mine, but everything done by Jesus Christ. Because I'm just an heir. And until then, I want to live faithfully to him and be wise with what he gives us. But I want to be to the praise of his glory. Praise of the glory of his grace, it was said earlier. And this is to the praise of his glory. That's the goal that we have. And then the final blessing in Ephesians chapter 1. And by the way, there are a whole lot more as you read through the book of Ephesians. But the final, the number 7 blessing, is being saved, and not just saved, but saved eternally, sealed by the Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, he said, in Christ, whom when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, you believed, and then were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit that guarantees our inheritance, number 6, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. We have heard. Now, I don't know about you, but the gospel has gone out. It's gone out on television, on radio, in print, in Bibles, by testimony to our friends and neighbors. But until God allows us to hear, opening our ears, to see, opening our blinded eyes, people just don't understand it whatsoever. But he said, you, because of blessing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, when you heard, ears open, God loves you, God chose you, God predestined you to be his child, your ears are open, and you get saved and then sealed. How thankful I am. We have a leaky basement. We have a wonderful driveway, all concrete, but where it butts up against the house, there's a ceiling, you know, some sort of a caulking type stuff that you put in there. But I found out that you probably need to replace that caulking to make sure leaks don't get down in there. And so, you know, our goal was to replace it once every 35 years or so, to put new caulking in. Because there's nothing worse than seeing the wall in your basement all plaster falling off and all wet as little leak has come in. We had a little leak in our upstairs. Our house has a little homemade little bathroom with a sink and a commode up in the upstairs. And my wife walked into our bathroom on the main floor and got hit in the head with water dripping. Big couple of drops. She immediately went ballistic. Amen. You know, that's rightfully so. You know, I was very happy in my lazy boy. But she's coming here quick like that. She laid down a bath mat on the floor, and sure enough, in the course of about 2 or 3 minutes, it got a little spot about the size of a silver dollar wet on there. And that was it. And a little spot on the ceiling tile. And then it stopped. And I said, okay, that's good. It's nothing. We just won't use that bathroom up there at all. You know, it's up in the kids' play area, and that just we'll just close it off. She said, we have to fix it. We have to call the plumber now. I said, it's 11:30 at night. How about we wait till morning? For which the plumber was thankful. But Joe, our plumber, came over and looked at it, and he said, yep. He said, you got a valve that's stuck and rusted. He said, how old is this? And I said, well, this was all remodeled in 1950. And so, you know, this is really nice. And so he came over, and he said, well, I got a solution for it. He said, I'm gonna turn your water off in the house. I'm going to cut the pipes. I'm going to cap the pipe there. And there's not going to be any more water up to that little old sink area that's all corroded. And he said, then what you want to do is just whoever you sell the house to or whatever, just tell them that the sink is not working. They might notice it because the pipes under the sink are just going to be there with a cap on them and no, not connected to anything. That's a subtle, you know, again. And I said, well, okay, that's good. And we paid him the money. And he said, you know, he said, if you ever want to sell this house, he said, I know a family that would love this place. He said, I've worked on a couple of houses that they redid and they revitalized. And he said, it's just like, they would be thrilled. They would pay you good money for this house. And they did. And we are so blessed. We are so thankful. We didn't make one phone call. We didn't do anything. These people came over, fell in love with our house. They said, oh, it's going to only take $75,000 to fix it all up. A new basement, new walls here. And that. But all the your house is so wonderful. And that. And they said, we'll give you so much money for it. And I said, well, I got to have a little more than that. And they said, okay, if we match your price, what else do we get? So we threw in our washer and dryer and our refrigerator and our hot tub, sadly. And God took care of it all. But I'm so thankful we had a leak. One drip on my wife's head that I listened to. That she should be thankful. And God, over the course of the last couple of months, has worked this all out. And we're just dumbfounded. We are saved. We have all of God in us, and we can't leak out any of it. Someone said that we're held in the Father's hand, we're kept by Jesus' hand, and then we're sealed by the Holy Spirit all the way around the edges so none of us can leak out any direction. Our salvation is there. We are secure and can't leak in from outside, can't leak out from inside. Nothing in our salvation, being chosen, predestined, redeemed, forgiven, given wisdom, given an inheritance, and given our salvation and sealed in with it. None of it is up for question. It's all guaranteed. So remember this week as we face Thanksgiving in a year when it seems like there's a lot not to be thankful for. What God has done beyond the circumstances of 2020. That God has done more for us than we could ever ask or think. Fanny Crosby, great songwriter, blinded from as a newborn. They put drops in her eyes and it burned the eyes and destroyed the vision in this little few-day-old baby. She wrote, someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but oh, the joy when I awake in the palace of the king. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. An atheist came up to Fanny and scoffed at her and said, how will you ever be able to see Jesus face to face? You're blind. And what did she write? I shall know him. I shall know him when redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him. How? By the print of the nails in his hand. That's the sort of faith we walk through. The faith that guides us through 2020 and all of its challenges, and for which we are so thankful yet today.